But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all?
Chapter 5. There's a suspicious lack of anything trap-like as they leave the garden and the healing spring. How big is this place? Fives asks, a little tight, as another corridor turns into a wide, straight hallway leading vaguely down. The walls are carved with reliefs, inlaid with crystal, and don't seem to be about to move, but John still eyes them warily as they start down the hall. Most of the area under the mountain, from what I could tell, John says with a frown. And it's tempting to lengthen his stride, put himself out in front for whatever dangers are coming to hit first. But at the same time, he wants to stick close in case something comes from behind. Building it was part of the challenge, I think. Jetty, Echo mutters, but it mostly sounds amused. Those statues out front, they're the founders or something, right? John inclines his head, eyes on the wide tiles that are just visible through the dust down here. A human Jedi who specialized in refining kyber crystals, and a Sephi Jedi who specialized in building the hilts. They left the main temple to start a workshop together, and eventually others joined them. Simple as that? Echo asks. He glances over at John, clearly surprised. I thought founding their own temple would be more dramatic. Especially seeing as they were Jedi, Fives adds. John snorts. He skirts a tile with the Order symbol inlaid in green glass, glowing bright in a shaft of sunlight, and hears Echo do the same where he's walking at John's elbow. Fives is out of its direct path, but he still gives it a wary berth. Not everything has to be dramatic, he says. And besides, once there were dozens of temples throughout the Outer Rim, it was hardly noteworthy for the Jedi to add one more. Are there any left in the Outer Rim? Fives asks curiously. I've never heard any of the generals we've served with mention them. No, John says quietly, and brushes a hand over the wall. They closed decades or centuries ago. Jedi rarely come to the Outer Rim at all anymore. He doesn't look back, even though he catches the way Fives and Echo trade glances, thoughtful, intrigued. How many more were there? Echo asks. John shakes his head. I don't know the exact count of them. He says, at least 20 that are widely known, maybe more like this one, with records lost to time. He comes to a stop where the hallway branches in three directions, listening, feeling, and he breathes in, breathes out, lets himself be guided as Echo and Fives halt beside him. When you said that the Jedi were fading, Fives says. I didn't think you meant that dramatically. John's smile is a little crooked, but he looks at Fives, then at Echo, and says, it hasn't been dramatic. A dramatic change means people would do something about it. This has been slow, like decay. He casts a look up the left-hand corridor and says quietly, the Jedi have failed to see the threat of the Sith for 1,000 years. I wonder how much of that decay can be blamed on the dark side working against them while they were blind to it. Oh, Echo says after a long moment, and it's on the very edge of grim. From what I've heard, decay's definitely a dark side thing, right? That would explain it. Some of it, John allows. But he's not willing to drag politics into this. All the ways the Jedi have been eaten at by the Senate, made less neutral, more political. It's not what they were meant to be. The sheer fact that Yoda could be put into such a position as to have to lead an army shows that. Well, Five says, determinedly light, and knocks John's shoulder gently with his own. Maybe after the war you can reopen some of them. If it's as easy as just wanting to, there shouldn't be a problem, right? John pauses, a little startled, and glances at him. Frowns, but Fives is right. He's been thinking of it as a thing that would need council permissions, oversight, allowances, but once, Jedi simply settled where they liked, shored themselves up, and kept working. And it was enough. Maybe it can be like that again. That would be the best possible outcome, he says, soft, and offers Fives a small smile. Thank you. You're very logical. Fives grins back, and it's bright and warm. I want that in writing. In triplicate, with a signature. John snorts, even as Echo rolls his eyes. Reaching out, Echo punches Fives in the shoulder, making him yelp, and then asks, So, which way? We're probably due for a trap by now, right? Amused, John lets Fives duck around to his other side, putting John between himself and Echo. Looks ahead of them instead, towards the branching corridors, and hesitates, frowns, because the pull of the Force has faded, dispersed. He can't tell which path to take, and that's mildly unsettling. I don't know, he admits after a moment, grim, steps forward, slipping past Echo, and puts a hand on the edge of the left-hand tunnel, trying to feel any sort of hint. There's more sunlight down this one. But they need to go down toward the vault, not back toward the surface. Spin a blaster, go where it points, Fives offers. But the joke is undercut by the wariness of his voice. Let's save that for a last resort, Echo tells him, dry, and joins John, peering down the next corridor. This one leads down, he points out. And if you're looking for a lightless void, this one's probably the best bet, Fives says, leaning into the rightmost tunnel. When John glances over at him, he's frowning, an edge of suspicion to his face that makes John still. My helmet lights don't even reach 2 meters in. That's strange enough to catch John's attention, and he heads for Fives immediately, joining him at the edge of the hall. He's right. There's no light at all down this one, though the other two corridors have at least a little illumination, and the unsettling blackness is enough to give John pause. The Force is still clouded, still strange, but there's no saying a Sith couldn't use the Force to find their way through most of the traps, he says quietly. And what better to turn them away than a place where the Force was strange and didn't work correctly? Echo and Fives exchange glances, and Echo's hands tighten on his blaster. The Force doesn't work? He asks, concerned. Are you going to be okay? John breathes in, breathes out. I'll be fine, he says calmly. I can still feel it. It's just faint. Well, Five says, light. It makes sense it would be the most dangerous hallway, right? Since they want to keep people out. I'm game if you are. John grimaces but inclines his head, then glances at Echo. With a sigh, Echo raises his hands. This is a bad idea, he says, but slings his blaster over his back. Fives, are those lights all the way up? For all the good it does, Five says, faintly grim. Ready? John steps past them, right to the edge of the darkness. It feels strange, heavy against his skin, like spider silk, and from behind him there's a sound of alarm, and John stops short. An instant later, a hand grabs his arm, then another tangles in his cloak, and he's hauled back with a hiss of offense. "What?" he asks, stumbling upright as he's dragged back into the light. "What's wrong?" Echo makes a low, almost angry sound. "You disappeared," he says. Like it swallowed you." "My lights don't work at all," Fives agrees, alarmed. "It's like the whole thing is filled with black fog." "That's probably to be expected, but still unpleasant." John eyes the corridor, then Fives and Echo, and says, "Hang on to me, or to each other." They trade looks for a long moment, and then Echo offers Fives one of his hands, holds the other out to John. "Right-handed or left-handed?" he asks. "Ambidextrous," John says, a little amused, and takes Echo's hand with his right.
"So you go both ways?"
Fives asks, grinning. Immediately, Echo makes a sound of disgust and elbows him hard, and Fives laughs, ducking away as best as he can while keeping their hands linked. John rolls his eyes and leaves them to it, turning back to the hall. He still can't feel anything except a vague edge of widespread pull, a draw that could come from any direction, but... well, the reasons for choosing this path still stand. "Don't let go," he says quietly, and steps into the darkness. There's no immediate trap sprung, nothing instantly alarming. John can't see a single thing. The pressure of the darkness is its own weight, and he keeps one hand outstretched in front of him, sweeping it back and forth slowly as he tries to keep his feet headed in a straight line. Even from this close, he can't see any trace of the lights from the helmet Fives is carrying.
"Carking hells," Echo mutters,
from right at his back, quiet and unsettled. "What is this?" "I don't know," John says, and his fingertips skim stone. Coming to a halt, he says, "Corner or dead end." There's a step to his left, and a moment later, Five says, "Solid wall on this side." At least they didn't walk far if it is a dead end, John thinks, and feels to the right of him, carefully dragging his fingertips along the wall. Two steps on, and he turns, reaches out, catches the edge of an opening, and says, "There's a door here."
"If this was all to hide a door," Five says, sounding aggravated, "I'm going to..."
Two steps in, and there's a sharp hiss. John jerks back and feels something just miss the tip of his nose in the darkness. Instantly, Echo hauls him back towards them, voice alarmed as he says, "What is that?" Another hiss, the sound of an impact, and it's too loud to just be the one that missed John. Echoes all the way down what must be a long corridor. John listens for a moment, hearing the hiss, the impact, the rush of air, and then says grimly, "I think we found the next trap."
"Arrows,"
Fives says after a second, and groans.
"Arrows across the hallway, in the dark. Great!"
That's about John's feeling on the matter. He grimaces, takes a step back and to the side. The darkness lifts. Startled, John looks down. Beneath his feet, spread out across the stone, is the Order's crest, this time in white crystal. When he lifts his head, it's to the sight of a near wall of arrows, flying across the corridor, barely half a meter from them, but there's a timing to it. With the light, John can see that. There are arrows all along the corridor, but they're staggered, uneven bursts. If John could get past one set, could see when the next set was about to fly, he could make it to the end of the hall easily. The moment he steps off the square, though, the darkness closes in again. Here, he says, and pulls Echo closer, right up against him. Hears Echo's sharp breath and asks, you see it too? There's a pause, and then Echo nods, gaze dragging away from John to look down the hall. The crest is doing something? He asks. John inclines his head. Some kind of personal barrier, maybe, he says, and shifts over, stepping back into the darkness so that Fives can join Echo on the stone. Oh, Fives says a moment later, startled. It's a pattern, kind of, but it keeps shifting. Listening along won't let them make it to the other side unscathed, John thinks. Memorizing the pattern is useless because Fives is right. It lasts for a few moments, then changes. There won't be enough time to pause and relearn it in the middle of the corridor. He'd end up full of arrows if he tried, but... I think there's another crest on the other side, Echo says, craning forward with a hand on John's shoulder to keep him steady. And a dial way off the ground by the roof of the hall. Maybe that turns the arrows off? John raises a hand, tries to reach out with the force, and makes it no further than the edge of his fingertips before he loses his grip. Whatever is creating the darkness is likely the same thing, keeping me from reaching the switch from here. He says grimly, the force is very quiet here. Frack, Five says, displeased. So we just run and hope for the best? No, John says quietly. I'll go, and you tell me when to move. There's a moment of silence that's vaguely horrified, and then Echo splutters. You can't, he says. Send one of us. We'll go, and you can guide us. No, John says simply. Besides, the dial is high enough off the ground that I'll need the force to reach it, right? Echo's fingers tighten on his shoulder, and Fives makes a low, angry sound. No, he counters. You'll get killed. We'll get you killed. John snorts quietly. I don't believe you will, he says, and feels it in his bones. Fives and Echo won't let him die here. I need to be the one to cross, and I trust you. For a long, long moment, he thinks they're going to keep protesting. Thinks it's going to be a fight or a struggle to make them see sense. But after a minute of perfect silence, Fives takes a breath. One of us on go, the other to tell you when to stop, he says grimly. That way we won't be tripping over each other, and we can react faster. Faster than you can, maybe, Echo says quietly, and John can't help but smile. If they think this is anything compared to what Dark Woman liked to use as training, they're deeply mistaken. He wasn't lying about the Terran tactic. Have faith, he says. The force is quiet here, but not gone. It will keep me safe. I hope so, Five says and swallows. Okay, I'll tell you when to go. Just be careful. John inclines his head, then closes his eyes. They're useless in the dark anyway, and with them shut, it's like this is just another bout of training. Dark Woman had him blindfolded for half a year, learning to function without sight. This trap seems specifically designed to confuse instincts like that, but that's what Fives and Echo will help with. Okay, Fives repeats, audibly steeling himself. First move, two steps across when I say, now! Two steps, quick, and John feels his heart in his throat as he comes to a sharp halt, just as the hiss of arrows sound. They pass right behind him, right in front of him, so close he can feel the breeze they raise, but they don't even skim him. Four steps, Fives says. Pitch to carry. Only stop for 2 seconds, Echo adds. It's a short gap. Then 3 steps, Fives confirms. John nods, hears something right by him hiss. Go! He crosses four steps as quickly as he can, waits for Echo's cry, and stops short. Counts the bare seconds, then steps again, three strides carrying him forward just as arrows hiss at the edge of his cloak. Breathes out tension, fear, frustration, and lets himself focus on calm, on the rise of Fives' voice, as he calls, "Six steps, then you'll have to roll, half a meter of clearance, but the trap's only about a foot wide there. Now!" Pleasant, John counts the paces, then drops, rolling beneath the continuous hiss of arrows, and then right back to his feet. He can hear the rhythm shift around him, and, "One step back!" The blade of something much, much larger than an arrow just misses the tip of his nose, and John hears Echo curse, sharp and vicious. "Axes," Five says, "steady, set. Three pairs, one after the other, 2 meters apart with arrows in between. 5 seconds between the first swing and the second, with the arrows dead in the middle." John tips his head, considering. The mechanism in the wall where he's standing is winding up again, so he doesn't have long to decide, but how high are the arrows? Level with the top of the axe blades? There's a startled pause, and when Fives answers, John can hear the grin in his voice. "Yeah, just about. Maybe 3 inches higher. Top of the axes are maybe 1.5 meters off the ground." "Time the swing," John says, calm. It's dangerous and probably stupid, but he has faith of his own in the force and in the clones behind him. "Tell me when to jump." There's a half-second pause, a click. "Go!" John leaps, feels arrows skim the edge of his cloak, and lands on a narrow edge of metal. The sideways sweep is disorienting in the darkness, and he clutches the shaft, takes half a second to orient his balance, and hears the rush of arrows in front of him. Just as they fade, Fives calls, "Jump!" John jumps high, flips, comes down. 2 meters, he thinks, and hears the sweep of the axes coming back. Hits just 1 inch too far forward. "John!" Echo cries, but John catches himself, twists. "On your left, 2 meters. Jumps and catches hold of the haft of the next axe just as it starts to swing back across the hall. For one instant, his balance wavers, but he rocks back hard on his heels, catches himself, and tilts forward. Catches his balance, but the axe is sweeping back towards the wall already, about to vanish into it, and there's no time. "Jump and roll," Echo calls, and John dives forward, hits the ground on his feet, and immediately drops forward into a roll, then comes back to his feet. Hears the shout, turns and takes 3 running steps, leaps a row of low streak arrows, touches down just as Echo shouts for him to stop. Arrows pass in front of him, so close John almost recoils. "Forward!" Fives shouts. "Run!" "Duck!" Echo adds, half a beat behind him, and John drops, slides a step, feels something skim his hair, then rises, takes 4 strides. "Stop!" He stops dead, feels another set of axes slice across his path, and twists through the gap as they part. "Roll!" 1 more step as he hits the ground, rolls beneath another spray of arrows, rises. 1 step back. Not an arrow, something larger, heavier. John hears it impact the other wall. Then Fives calls, 6 steps, then jump, 1 meter up. The pattern sounds wrong. John can hear it, just slightly off in the darkness. Wants to pause, wants to try to figure out the difference, but now! There's no time. John curses inwardly, but he leaps forward, takes 4 steps, almost hesitates, almost drops at the hiss of arrows releasing. But Fives and Echo haven't missed yet. They wouldn't get him killed now. He takes the 2 remaining steps, then leaps and passes into the light just as a whole wall of arrows releases behind him. If he jumped too soon, but he didn't. Landing, John tips forward into a roll, rises, then leaps for the dial at the top of the wall. It's a good distance up, and he grabs it, twists it hard, and feels the resistance for a long moment before it gives, twisting closed. As it does, the last burst of arrows clatter down the middle of the hall. as if whatever is firing them is out of power. And the swinging axes slow, then stop, swaying gently in the air. "Griffing hell," Five says into the quiet, and takes a step off the order's crest, hesitates, then says, "The darkness is gone." "Part of the trap, I assume," John confirms. He drops, straightening carefully, and holds his worn, ragged cloak up. It's a good bit more ragged now, with some definite arrow holes he's going to be spending a fair amount of time patching. And he sighs, but glances up as Fives and Echoes approach with quick steps. "Good work," he says, and gives them a quick smile. Echo lets out a sound of disbelief, then reaches out, hooks a hand around the back of his neck, and hauls him close. John has half a second for complete and utter bewilderment before Echo taps their foreheads together, leaning there for a long moment, with his eyes closed. "You are going to give us both heart attacks," he says, ragged. Looping an arm around John's shoulders, Fives tugs him away from Echo, leans up to press their foreheads together as well. "That was hot," he says, and his smile is all relief as he closes his eyes. "Criffing amazing." Heat floods John's stomach, and he can't help the urge to twitch back, even though Fives doesn't let go. There's a burning climbing his face, too, and he wants to duck his head, haul his hood up, hide, but Echo is right behind him, almost sandwiching him between them, and there's no possible place to go. Maybe nowhere John wants to go, either. And it should be shameful, but Fives' hand is on his hip, Echo's is on his back, his other on John's ribs, and John could pull away except for how he can't physically make himself. "Thank you both," John says, a little hoarse, and Fives grins at him. "I think we make a good team," he says cheerfully, and Echo laughs a little, too close, his hands hot on John's body, even through his clothes. The drag of want is almost bewildering with how strong it is, and John tries very, very hard not to swallow visibly. "I think it's mostly that John follows orders really well," Echo says, and his voice makes John want to shiver. He has to crush the reaction, and it's just been too long, that's all. Too many months since the last time he indulged in anything, and longer than that since he let himself indulge with another person. He wants and he won't get, and he needs to control himself. "And you're good at giving them. No wonder you're arcs," he says, keeps it gentle, and carefully but deliberately extricates himself from their holds, stepping back. His fingers itch to reach for his hood, to flip it up and hide his face. But at the very least, he can keep that much of a handle on himself. With the darkness gone, his sense of the force is back too. He turns towards another set of stairs that spiral downward, following the tug, and says, "This way." He thinks he catches Echo and Fives exchanging looks out of the corner of his eye, but he keeps his attention focused on what's ahead of them, so he can't be entirely sure. It takes a moment, but after a beat, there are steps on either side of him again, quick and steady. Echo falls in on his left, and Fives takes the right, mirroring him as he starts down the wide staircase. "What are the odds that's the last trap?" Fives asks, like he didn't just give John the Mandalorian equivalent of a kiss in the hallway. John's skin itches with the urge to reach out, to touch, to take, but he buries the urge, crushes it down, and keeps moving. "I think it's safe to say that's the first real trap," John manages after a moment. He can feel their surprise and raises a brow, glancing over at Fives. "It's a trap designed to take at least two people to navigate, people who trust. Sith wouldn't be able to manage it, not the vast majority of them." Oh, Echo says, thoughtful. He looks ahead of them, then says, I guess we should expect more like that, then. John inclines his head. Teamwork traps, he says dryly. And Five snorts. A chunk of stone gives way under his boot, and he hisses, jerks. His hand lands on the wall, and there's a low, echoing groan. Fives freezes, eyes going wide. Carking, damn it, Echo says. But at this point, he just sounds resigned. Another one? The stairs shift under their feet, and John hears a rush of water from above. With a curse, he lunges, grabbing Echo, then Fives, and hauls them up against him, just as the stairs go flat beneath them. A second later, the water hits, fast and strangely hot, sweeping their feet right out from under them and sending them whirling down in a drowning rush that carries them all away.